I'd like to speak a little bit tonight about some things that's affected a lot of people, and that's condemnation and a few other things. So let's just get started. You know, a lot of us came up through the apostate denominational churches. These are, most of them are just, they're seeking to be justified by a doctrine that they have. They teach you that you're justified because of that something or other that you believe or something that they do that the other people don't. And that's a trap of the devil to keep you from receiving the benefits of God. And you're not going to be able to grow in that way. You separated yourself from the body of Christ when you do that. Galatians 5:19 says, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul told us, he said, a sect or a division or a strife is a work of the flesh, and you've been divided away from the people of God because of your self-righteousness, because you think you're doing something. You're trying to manipulate God and give him some because of what you do, and that ain't going to work. It just depends on what denomination you're in or what non-denomination that you're in concerning the foolishness of which the devil has deceived us, right? How is our access to God? It's through faith, isn't it? As Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive. That's past tense. Receive them, and ye shall have them. So faith is believing you have something on the grounds that God says you got it. Not because you see it. He's telling you to believe you have received it before you even see it. That's what faith is. And we're counted righteous because we believe something on the grounds that God said so. And, of course, that faith gives us access to grace. Grace is God fulfilling that benefit or that promise to you by His power. And since you ain't got no way to do it yourself, as a matter of fact, this gift of faith totally does away with any way that you would use to get that benefit or promise. Because faith is believing you've already received it. Therefore, you can't go out and get it. You can't use anything that you can do to get it, can you? Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, since faith is the substance of things hoped for, while there's no evidence seen, what you're doing, you're claiming this gift on the grounds that it's already been given to you. For instance, if by whose stripes you were healed, what you going to do to get it? Well, if you try to go get it by your own methods, you prove that you don't believe the verse because God says it's already yours, right? You can't go to the doctor. You can't spend money on it. You can't get it by your own intelligence. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace have ye been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. You know, salvation in every form has already been provided. And all we got to do is believe and rest, as Hebrews 4 tells us. And let God go ahead and bring the manifestation of what you're asking for. You know, God's a miraculous God. His provision is everywhere. It's all over. You can't go anywhere that you can't receive His provision. You can't get away from God's provision if you accept it by faith. But if you try to get it, to go get God's grace any other way, you're going to fail. It says, the verse says, we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And that's the way grace comes. And you ain't going to talk God out of it. That's His method. A lot of people want to make rules and regulations that you got to keep in order for you to be justified. And they want you to keep a part of the law. They want you to keep a man's law. Or they want you to do something in order to be justified before God. so that God can answer your prayers. Listen, justification is not by works of the law or works of man or any kind of special belief that you got. Justification don't come that way. Justification comes only through faith in the promises of God. That's faith. And faith is believing that you received something that you haven't yet manifestly received. Paul makes it pretty plain in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. If Abraham had been trying to be justified by his works, and his works had failed him, then he would have been condemned. And a lot of people do that. They trust in themselves. They trust in their own works to save them, and they fall under condemnation when their works fail. Listen, there's whole ministries and ministers and doctrines that try to get people to change through some kind of a man-made method of condemnation. Their method is to condemn you into doing something in order to be justified by God so he can give you a benefit. But there ain't but one way to obtain grace, and that's through faith. You know, faith is the opposite of condemnation. A lot of times we see preachers, false preachers, that will command their groups to stay away from doctors and medicine so that they go ahead and receive a healing from God. That's the opposite end of it. You're attempting to get God to do something for you by your work. Listen, faith has to come first. If your works come first, that ain't faith. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. That's man's works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in him. There's two kinds of works here you're looking at. There are your works, and there's God's works. God's works come on the other end of faith and grace. And your works come before faith and grace. What you're trying to do in your works is attempting to be accepted by God and to receive some benefit from God by something that you do. But when you hear something like that, a legalistic command like that, it's coming from the devil. He wants to replace the real method of God in your life. He wants to replace the only method that works, because faith gives grace and grace gives the benefit. That's the way it works. These apostate preachers are saying, no, if you do it this way, God will do this. In other words, you're trying to buy the benefits of God. Didn't Jesus pay a big enough price? So it don't make any sense, does it? And then there are other apostate leaders who want to put you under works of the law in order for you to be justified. In other words, they say you got to keep the feast. You got to keep the Sabbath. Don't eat meats, these certain kind of meat. Pay your tithe, and on and on and on. And they tell you that you're not justified unless you do those things. Every one of them is a deceiver. They want you to obtain the benefits of God by receiving justification through the works of the law. And it don't matter whether it's the works of the law or the commands of men. It don't make any difference. It's all of the same lie. Truth is, you're only justified by faith. And if you're not justified, you ain't going to get the benefit. In fact, Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 said, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. In other words, you're believing the truth, you're believing the word of God, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Listen, we always want to prevail, don't we, when we come into judgment. And we want God's salvation there, whatever that need might be. If we need a healing, if we need a deliverance, if we need provision, protection, every bit of it comes because of God's grace. And all of that grace comes because of his faith. And he put that in us. And the Lord tells you here that you can prevail when you come into judgment if you agree with God's word. Just believe what God says and don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. Well, what saith the scripture? And Abraham believed, past tense, God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. That's it. Believe God. And you ain't going to be able to save yourself anyway. It's not as if you're able to do the works of God. You're not. There's two different kinds of works here now. Remember that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, that's your works. Remember that, that's your work. That no man should glory. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now that's God's works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in him. See, faith gives you grace, and grace gives you God's works. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's one way his grace is manifested in us. He works in us to will and to do. It's God's works. Salvation's God's works. It ain't nothing we can do. And what causes God to do that in us? Well, it's faith. Faith brings grace and causes God to do that in us. You ain't going to be able to buy God off with any of your work. Because he said, it's not of works lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. And again, that's God's works. When you abide in him, you walk as he walked. And that means his works are moving through you. So basically salvation is God putting his will in us. When you're in the will of God, you don't have any problem. Because you get everything you want. God does everything he wants to do. And our problem is we have a will that's contrary to God. So there's a war. But God puts his will in us, and he gives us the capability to bring his will to pass. Well, praise be to God. He works in us to will and to do or to work. That's God working in us, and it ain't our works at all. But we're not justified by our works any more than Abraham was. We're justified by faith, aren't we? Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. And that's talking about a person who's got to go ahead and do something in order to please God, so that God will go ahead and give him a benefit. Verse 4, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. In other words, you're going around grace, or you think you're going around grace. You can't go around grace because God's favor is not going to be there. You're only what you are, and you can't do anything more than what you are. You do what you are, but God's grace enables us to do what he is and not what we are because of our own nature. God has to reach in from the outside and change us from the inside. And what caused him to do that? That's our faith. And that's the faith he gave us. Our faith brings his favor to do that. The reward is not reckoned as a grace, but as a debt. God ain't going to be our debtor. We're not going to be able to buy him off. You know, it don't make any difference what we do. No matter what we believe, no matter what kind of law we go back under, the law was righteousness through works, justification through works, and God rejected that. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through the law cometh the knowledge of sin. So by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Praise be to God. That's the good news right there, isn't it? To him that worketh not. In other words, we don't have to be something that we're not. We can rest in God, and his grace will bring us the manifestation and make us that something that we're not. His grace will bring Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody know, you know what reconciliation means. It means exchange. Jesus made that reconciliation. He exchanged his life for my life. What I got to do to be like Jesus? All I got to do is look in the mirror and see him. And accept by faith that person I'm looking at is now Jesus living in me. I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. We do it by faith, don't we? Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And by faith, what you're doing, you're accepting that sacrifice of Jesus. God's going to bring that to pass by his grace because you've given him that faith that he's given you. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're giving God a substance that He's going to use to make into the answer to your need. And what is that? That's faith. Because you were chosen by Him even before you knew Him. He gave you the grace to receive that very first faith from which you continue to receive grace. Praise God. Psalms chapter 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. This is grace to do and be whatever you need to be, because he's already saved us. And as a Christian, if you need faith, all you got to do is ask for it. Because salvation in every form is not by your works, but his works in you. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Even as David also pronounceth blessing upon the man, unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Well, praise be to God for that. That's a good blessing, ain't it? You know, Paul was feeling condemned at one time because of his works. And since he was condemned, he didn't have any faith, did he? And since he didn't have any faith, he didn't have that grace. That's a terrible rut, and a lot of people get in it a lot of time. But you got to lay hold on faith. He says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. In other words, because of his very nature, he wasn't able to partake of the benefits of God. He was not even capable of partaking of the benefits of God. Now, he was giving us his problem here, and he tells his solution on down. Verse 15, for that which I do, I know not. For not what I would, that do I practice. What I hate, that I do. Here's what Paul was saying. He said, I'm doing what I don't want to do, and I don't know how to be saved from what I'm in, this circumstance I'm in. He hated that sin, didn't he? But he was in it, and it was overcoming him. He wasn't getting grace from God because he was feeling condemned. You know how come? Because when you're feeling condemned, what you're saying is, I could do better, and I'm not. Now, y'all need to think about this. Let this ponder on this. When you're under condemnation, you're thinking, I could do better, or I should have done better, and I'm not. Well, you're reckoning that you are capable of pleasing God. Listen to this. It's only God who's capable of pleasing God. Only God is capable of pleasing God. His nature's the only thing that pleases Him. Anything that we got to offer Him don't please Him. When you've got condemnation, you don't feel justified by faith, and that's the problem. If you're justified by faith, you don't have condemnation. In Hebrews 10:26, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversary. Now, condemnation comes from willful disobedience. Listen to me. Condemnation comes from willful disobedience. Paul was saying, the good that I would do, I do not. The good that I will to do, I do not. And the evil which I will not to do, that I am doing. Now, as you can see, his will was totally set against his sin, so it wasn't a willful disobedience. But he hadn't figured out the key to receiving the power from God to overcome yet. And the key is faith. Listen, it's faith. It's not justification by works. Paul was proving that he was trying to be justified by works because of the condemnation of his feeling, right? He was proving that he's under the law, which was justification by works. But in the New Testament, we have no access to God or his benefits that way. And so all those Judaizers out there who want to bring you back under the law, and the legalists who want to bring you under their church laws or their doctrines are all trying to separate you from Christ and from the benefits of God. And there ain't no way for you to be better than you are. You do what you are because it's your nature. We need the nature of God to be given to us through grace. And we don't get grace except by faith. Did you hear me? We don't get grace except by faith. Paul needed to know that he was justified by faith. Because he was condemning himself, proving that he thought he was justified by his works. Romans chapter 7 and verse 16, it says, but if what I would not that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. He was saying, what he was saying, the law is good and I'm bad. But the New Testament teaches that we're not bad anymore. Because in Romans 6 and 11 it says, even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. God made an exchange. It's your life for his life, and you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you now. And as long as you're going to call yourself a sinner saved by grace, you're going to be a sinner. Ain't no way around it. The truth is, that old sinner's supposed to be dead. He's dead, praise God. And that's what Paul commanded us to believe in Romans 6. The old man is dead, and now Jesus lives in us. Your faith causes God to give you grace to bring it to pass. Something that you could never, ever do, God's going to do. He'll do it for you as a gift. He's going to give it to you. He'll give it to you as a gift. You couldn't work your way to it, not in a million years. But God is going to give it to you as a gift. And he ain't going to allow you to get it any other way, because he's not going to be in debt to you, okay? Romans 7 and 17. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. But what he's saying here, he said, since my will is against it, that proves that there are two entities here. Oh, praise God. My will is against this, but my flesh is doing it. He's saying, now it's no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. That's schizophrenic. When we desire to serve God, and yet we walk in the flesh. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I practice. In other words, the evil which I desire not to do, or wish not to do, or will not to do, that's what I'm doing. Verse 20, but if what I would not that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. Therefore, I, the one who wills not to sin, am a son of God, and I'm righteous. Praise be to God. That's the spiritual man who wills not to sin. Since Paul was continuing to sin because of his flesh, he said, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. Paul received the understanding that when he desired to do right, God separated him from the sinful man. God separated the righteous spiritual man from the sinful man of the flesh. Y'all understand that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. No, the old man's got to die, don't you? It's got to die anyway. It's your spiritual man who's saved. The one who is an eternal son of God. That spiritual man is growing in you. And as that outer man is decaying away, he's dying away, that inner man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That spiritual inner man is taking the territory, isn't he? That Israelite is going in, and he's taking the territory away from that Canaanite. That's the old man. The spiritual man is conquering the old man with the edge of the sword. He's taking his land and all life in his land. And as you walk by faith in God, that's what's happening, because God's doing it in us. God said, I'm going to go before you. Now you go ahead and get your sword and have it ready. But I'm the one that's going to conquer the enemies for you, and I'll give them unto you. That's what the Lord's doing. He's given the old life into the hand of the spiritual man, and his sword is the word of God, right? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Romans 7 and 21 says, I find then the law that to me, who would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? Now listen, he goes on to say in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is saying, who's going to deliver me? He's looking for a Savior. And who is that Savior? That's Jesus. That's His job, isn't it? Thanks be to God. He's already done that for us. It's already accomplished. The sacrifice of Jesus already delivered Him. And as you read on, you're going to see that. In verse 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself, with the mind, indeed, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So, faith in the revelation that the Lord's already delivered him out of the body of that death, already delivered him out of that bondage to the sinful man, that's what's going to give Paul the grace he needs to walk away from that old man to walk as Jesus walked. It's like the serpent on the pole in the wilderness, isn't it? Over in Numbers 21 and 5, that's the story. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a standard. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he seeth it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon the standard. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he looked into the serpent of brass, he lived. And the solution came when anyone who had been bitten got their eyes off the bite and onto the serpent on the pole. Then they were healed, wasn't they? They got their eyes off the problem. They put it on the solution. Who is that solution? That's Jesus. They quit looking inside, inward, and started looking upward. Listen, we've all been snake bit, and that's the problem. This old man is a serpent, and he is the son of the serpent. We've been snake bit, and the poison of that serpent is in us. And what's the solution? That's to get our eyes on Jesus, who became a sin for us, was crucified on that pole and on that cross, and now we're free. Died with him. We were delivered. We were healed. We were provided for. Because all the things that are included in salvation were given to us at the cross. Amen. So we got to get our eyes off the problem and on the solution. What does condemnation do? Well, condemnation gets your eyes on yourself and it separates you from God. When you're like Paul and you're not in willful disobedience, when you desire the power of God and you just don't know which way to reach it, then condemnation is detrimental to your life because it separates you from Christ. Condemnation tells you, you should have done better. Should have picked yourself up and done this or that. And that's the opposite of looking at Jesus. He's already done it for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul goes on to say, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And when you use condemnation to force a person to change, that's called legalism. And that's doomed for failure. And if you're under condemnation, you ain't going to receive any power from God. Condemnation is just the opposite of faith. Faith gives grace, and grace gives the benefit. If you're under condemnation, it's either because you feel justified by works or you feel not justified by works. You've got a wrong relationship with God. Instead of a relationship of faith, it's a relationship of self-works. And some of you are trying to change people through condemnation. You need to quit that. It ain't going to work. And a lot of preachers out there are trying to use condemnation to make people change. All you're going to do is make a bunch of Pharisees. If you want people to change, there ain't but one thing that's going to work. You got to put faith in that person's heart. Condemnation is going to make them look inside. It'll cause them to get their eyes off the serpent on the pole and back on the snake bite. And the only thing they got right there is a curse. But if you put faith in that person's heart, they'll have grace and they'll have the benefits of the kingdom. So what we've got to do is put faith in everybody's heart. We have to speak encouragement to people. We have to speak the promises of the Word of God to people. We've got to help them accept freely who they are in Christ Jesus. And once they accept that they are righteous in Christ because they're justified through faith, then they're opened up to the benefits and blessings of heaven, aren't they? And that's a gift to them. Romans 8 and 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death." Put Paul in Christ Jesus. Well, the only thing that you can see there in that text is that Paul believed Jesus was the solution. And that's true, isn't it? Jesus was the only solution. He's already given us the benefit. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "That knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And he's saying the same thing over and over again, isn't he? Paul wants us to get this because it's real important. A lot of people are trying to be justified by various self-works of keeping Sabbaths and all of that junk, keeping the feasts, so forth, and all that stuff. One fallacy, one of them is very detrimental and destructive, is this. And listen to me well. A lot of us say, "Well, if I don't go to the doctor, God's going to heal me. If I don't take my medicine, God will heal me." No, that's not right. That is justification by your works. What you're saying is God will give you the grace because of your work. But he ain't going to do that. It has to be faith. Have you already been healed? Of course you have. That's what the Bible says. So if you believe that you've already been healed, that's faith. And what do you receive for that? Well, you receive God's grace. And what's that grace do? Well, it causes you to walk in the benefits of God and the blessings of God. And if you want to walk in that blessing and that benefit, the grace for the ability to do that has to come from God. Remember, there's two kinds of works. They're your works, which come before faith, and they are God's works, which are a fruit of faith. God's works in you are what's going to cause you to walk in perfection before the Lord. James spoke about faith being made perfect through works. James chapter 2 and verse 22. "Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." What works was he talking about there? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." James was talking about God's works, wasn't he? Ephesians 2 and 8 again. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works," and that's your works, "that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." In other words, these works are his works because you are in him. So he says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God who worketh in you." And that's grace, isn't it? It's God working in you, and that's his grace. "Both to will and to work for his good pleasure." That's what we got to have. That's salvation right there. That's the real gospel. And all those other things that people tell you that you got to do in order to receive the benefits of God is just a cheap substitute and they ain't going to work. It's got to be faith, doesn't it? Galatians 3 and 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law." How do you know if something is a work of the law? You know it's a work of the law because there's condemnation involved. "For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse." You're not going to get out from under the curse when you're seeking to be justified by your works. There ain't no way out. You're under the curse of the law. And it don't make any difference if the Old Testament law or man's law or your law. You're under a curse because your works are coming from before your faith does. Verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." So, if you want to seek, be justified by anything you do, you got to do everything God wants. And that's the only way you could be justified. And that ain't possible. It ain't possible because of your fallen nature. It ain't going to permit it. We need God's grace. We need unmerited favor from God to make us into that something that we're not. You can only do what you are, and so God has to make you into something else, doesn't he? And only faith brings the grace to do that. Verse 11, "Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith." And there's only one way to have God's life, and that's to live by faith. That's the whole Christian walk, is living by faith and acting on it. And that life is a free gift from God through faith. He don't give that gift just to anybody. He only gives that gift to people who believe. That's the condition right there. You've got to believe. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be it done unto you. In Matthew 8:13, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. As Jesus said. And for every one of God's blessings and benefits, that's the condition. And if a person don't believe, they ain't going to receive them, go on in their self-works and die under the curse. You see, the righteous shall live by, or literally from, faith. You're going to live from a faith. Galatians 3:12 says, and the law is not of faith. There ain't nothing that man can put you under that's going to make you righteous, because it ain't faith. But he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. You see, the Lord put our curse upon Jesus. We're not under the curse of the law. We don't have to obey the law in order to be justified. If we walk by faith, God's going to give us his grace, and that grace is going to cause the law to be fulfilled in us. Fulfilling the law ain't the same as being under the law. Be under the law is to be under a curse. And verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The law is the letter. That's a parable. Only the Spirit fulfills the letter. And it's being fulfilled in spirit in you who walk by faith in him. What then is the law? Verse 19. What then is the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. So the law was only a meantime thing until the seed came to whom the promise was due. God never wanted that relationship, the law that the law commanded, of righteousness by works. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And a lot of people think that's a superior relationship, and they can go back under the law. But listen, the word says they're separated from Christ. In Galatians 5:1, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Freedom from what? Free from that relationship. Galatians 3:4 is about that. It's rebuking Christians for following the Judaizer and going back under the law. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, or pay and tithe, or you could say keeping the feast, or keeping the Sabbath, or whatever law is, those things are just a type and a shadow of the things to come, it says in Galatians 2 and Hebrews 10. Paul said, they're not the fulfillment. They're not even important. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, now you can put anything in there, the law, the tithe, anything else, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision, or any of those other things he talked about, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. And he's talking about the works of the law, as in Galatians 2:16. Ye are fallen away from grace, and you're a debtor to do the whole law, he said. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? You're severed from Christ because you're seeking your own righteousness, and there's got to be a repentance and a return to justification by faith. That's a dangerous place to be in. You're falling away from grace. Because there ain't no other way to get grace except through faith. And you got to hold on to faith. Your works can't and will not impress God enough to get him to give you grace. You ain't going to be able to do that. Verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. None of that works, does it? But faith worketh through love. Well, praise be to God. Chapter 3:18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. There ain't no other way to receive the inheritance. James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith and have not works? What kind of works are we talking about here? That's the works that come from faith. That's not the works that comes before faith. That's your works. When you believe, God gives grace for you to do His works. A lot of people want to take that book of James out the Bible. And they tell you that it's a false doctrine because they say, we're not justified by works. What they don't understand is there's two kinds of works. There's God's works, which are the fruit of faith, and they're your works. And those aren't even acceptable. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? And that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. And if God's works don't come from your faith, then your faith is not His faith. There is a mental assent which is not God's faith and doesn't believe you have already received. Faith is calling the things that are not as though they were, right? Faith is believing you've already received. A lot of people say, I believe. Yes, sir, I believe. But when you ask them if they believe they have received, you find out that they don't because their actions prove that they don't believe. Their words prove that they don't believe. And that's not faith. That kind of faith can't bring forth anything from God. It ain't faith at all. The truth is that it's not faith if it's not bringing forth God's works. Verse 18, yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I, by my works, will show thee my faith. People think that they can show you their works apart from their faith. But the works of God manifested through man only comes because of true faith. That faith comes only by His grace. Ain't nobody can brag. Ain't nobody can brag. And he goes on to say in verse 19, thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren or unfruitful is what that word means. True faith will give you the works of Jesus as a free gift. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works. By works was his faith made perfect. Faith is made perfect by works. When you have faith, in Romans 4, you're justified. You're accounted righteous. But when you have faith, even before the works perfect the faith, you're still counted righteous. And when you're accounted righteous, then you're entitled to every benefit that grace brings. Praise God. So faith brings grace, and grace brings the works of God back into your life. And that's a good thing that God has planned. He's got it planned out, doesn't He? A lot of people like to turn that around and put the cart before the horse. But God ain't going to accept it. You're separated from Jesus. You're separated from grace if you do that. Well, what do we got to do to people to make them to overcome? Well, we got to push that faith in them. Not condemnation. Don't put condemnation on them. And how do you put faith in them? Well, you speak the Word of God to them. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You speak the Word of God to them, and you calleth the things that are not as though they were. Don't tell them about their failures. Don't tell them about their stumbling. Help them to take their eyes off themselves and get their eyes on the Lord. Help them to see that He already took away that sinful nature, and He nailed it on the cross. Now they've got His nature. You got to put that in them. That'll cause a person to overcome. That'll make them shout for joy. If you, instead of putting faith in them and letting that faith bring them the grace to change, you put them under condemnation to force them to change, the only thing that you're going to make there is a Pharisee. They're going to feel like that they're justified, that they're righteous because of something that they've done or something that they believe. We're righteous because of something God did. We are righteous because we believe in something He already accomplished on the cross, not in something that we do. Listen, faith is the foundation for salvation. We're going to be judged by our works. Every place in the Bible where Jesus talks about coming back and judging His people, He's judging them for their works. Why? It's because your works are proof of your faith. And if you don't have the works of God, it proves that you hadn't been walking in the faith of God. So, is God judging our faith? Why, sure. He's judging our faith by our works. He said, and I by my works will show thee my faith. What we got to do above everything else is to encourage one another. We need to share with one another what the Lord has done and not what we need to do. If you get your eyes on yourself, you're going to become withdrawn and feel rejected. But if you get your eyes off yourself and on the Savior, you're going to become somebody who walks by faith. You walk by faith in what He has accomplished on the cross. You've walked by faith in what He has given to you by hearing your curse. That's what delivered Paul from under his problem with condemnation. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You know, you'd think that there would be condemnation if I'm sinning and I'm failing. Not if you're justified by faith. God wants to give each one of us righteousness as a free gift. We don't deserve it. You got to understand that. We don't deserve it. Condemnation comes because you think you ought to deserve it. Or in other words, I have to do better so God will accept me. No. The only one who can do better is God Himself. He wants to give it to you as a free gift. And He wants you to know it's a free gift. It's not of yourself, lest any man should boast. And He's not going to accept you buying any of His benefits. And that condemnation that comes through legalism separates God's people from Him, from His power, and from His benefit. It separates us from God's grace. And that's His unmerited favor. All of us want to be in God's grace. I know you do. Well, I thank you, saints, for listening. This is a good teaching. It's one that came out of the real good news, and I believe it will help you if you'll study these scriptures and listen to what we had to say tonight, and I believe you'll walk in that grace that God's given you. So God bless you, and Lord, just bless them with the word, bless them with faith to believe, take them out of their works, Lord, in Jesus' name.